Good morning. Today I will be reading from John 15, verses 12 through 17. Just going to give everybody a minute to get there. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Haddon. These from the words of the Lord Jesus will be our foundational thought this morning as we consider kind of a sidebar, if you will, to where we have been in 1 Corinthians. In the Corinthian letter, we're dealing with of course, body life, if you will. We could kind of label it that, life in his body. And I think it's been on my mind the last couple of weeks to, and maybe we should just pause for a moment in that letter and consider some things along those lines. So with that in mind, and with our opening scripture read, let's just go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, help us, we pray, as we come to your word, as we consider a number of scriptures this morning and consider this thought of life in the body of the Lord Jesus. Father, help us to consider these things carefully, not to set them aside or see them as perhaps unimportant or already dealt with, but rather may it enhance our thinking, increase our meditation upon what it means to love the Savior, who is truly the joy of those hearts that love Him. We give you thanks now and pray your Spirit's guidance in this hour. We pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You heard the Lord's speaking to His disciples here in this passage in John where we've gone from the upper room and now moving toward the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Lord is through chapters 13 through 17. Some have called the farewell ministry of Christ. He's spending this time, and a theme that comes back again and again is this thought of love for Him, and if you love me, you'll love one another. He first mentions this a couple of verses in chapter 13, and then again where hadn't read this morning. And that is our foundation for this thought of our relationship with one another. The one another's, we might call it, are found all through the epistles and through the epistles of the New Testament as the apostles and writers bring to bear how this principle of loving one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of His body, as being those who are found in Christ's church, how those things are to be borne out. And I'd like to look at those a few things this morning. There are about 50 references, and you will be pleased to know we won't look at all of them. I did know a preacher one time that he would, if he had a topic, he would have his Bible, and you would see in his Bible little tabs all through, because he would go to every single reference to a particular subject. He spoke on hell one time, and when we were through, you believed that the Bible taught about hell, because you'd been to every verse in the Bible that gave any indication of it. And if anyone were to say to you, well, it doesn't really mean that, you say, well, we've looked at all of them. Yes, it does. So we won't do that this morning. That kind of shotgun approach. But we will look at a few scriptures, a little more turning than we normally do, to, just to get the gist, the understanding of perhaps some things that we might be thinking about in the life of the believers together. Now, you know, sometimes I go to a little historical reference, just because I'm that way, I guess. So I was interested, just stumbled across this, actually, that today is the anniversary of the first appearance of the Peanuts comic strip, October 2nd, 1950. Now, I grew up on the Peanuts cartoon comics, and we had all the little paperback books, all the colored books. Maybe you've seen some. Of course, they're still popular, even though Charles Schulz has been dead a good 20-plus years now. And he made it into the 50th year. He didn't quite accomplish 50 years drawing the strip. But, of course, it was very popular. And I mention it this morning because in the very first strip, there are two children sitting on a curb, and they see a fellow coming. And the little boy is sitting next to a little girl, and he sees this one in the distance. He says, "Well, here comes old Charlie Brown." And as he comes closer, he says, "Good old Charlie Brown, yes, sir." And about the time he gets parallel with him, "Good old Charlie Brown" comes from the boy's lips. And as Charlie Brown has passed the scene, the boy says, "How I hate him." And that set the stage for how sometimes we say one thing, but we really think and feel another. And the Peanut strip, which always featured children, never had any adults. You know, occasionally you'd have a voice of an adult, and of course, if you watch the cartoon specials, you heard what they sound like, right? Wah, 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 wah. You never really heard them, but they dealt with things that you and I deal with every day. You saw it as feelings of inadequacy, feelings of attachment, and all those things that we as adults feel. We saw it in the Peanuts comic strip. Well, the thought again is, do we mean what we say? Is it really what we think? And while it's humorous to think about in relationship with people, just in general together, how is it with those of us who vocally give affirmation of our love for the Savior? Does what we do agree with what we say? Are we even at risk of fooling ourselves sometimes? Well, the Lord Jesus gives very direct instruction here in John 15. There can be no mistake about his intentions for his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going away. But here is, as he says in chapter 13, "All men will know you are my disciples if you love one another." There's this relationship between those who know and love the Lord Jesus. And if the Lord Jesus is not your Savior, you can be kind and gentle and all those things, but there's not that communion that's had between those that know the Savior. Because if you love Him, you love His people. This relationship that we have with each other is marked out in such a way that it distinguishes the believers from society in general. And I think if we think about this, we might see that there's some places that we feel like, well, okay, I'm doing pretty well. In some places, maybe I could think about this a little more. And how we can help and encourage and build one another up. If someone asked me, well, how do you feel like you're doing in this command? How do you feel like you're doing as far as loving the believers, the saints, the redeemed And I would think, well, you know, my first response is, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. I love the ones I love anyway, you know. I mean, there's some that are a little annoying or some that I don't personally like, but, you know, when you get into the buts and the excuses, are we doing what the Lord has told us to do, right? I come to this as, again, going through 1 Corinthians, as we've seen already and as we'll see as we go back to it next time, Lord willing, it all revolves around how the Christians treat each other in the New Testament church. And that relationship then affects their testimony to the outside world. And if we want to have a clean testimony, if we want to have a one that doesn't besmirch the name of the Lord Jesus and gives us opportunity to tell folks that there is a way to escape judgment that is coming, then it needs to be evident that there is something different in our lives together as a body of believers. Well, when we go into the epistles, we find that Paul and John and Peter and the unknown author of Hebrews, they all reference this idea of how we are to interact with one another. So if you're at a loss of how, okay, I want to love the saints, I think I do, I want to, but I don't know how to, I don't know what exactly I should do, well, the New Testament has some good direction for us, and I'd like to spend a little time looking at the one another's this morning. Now, I've grouped, like I say, there's almost 50 through the New Testament, not quite, depending on what you count and how you count them. I've grouped them in about 7 categories, if you will. There may be, it might be that they would be broken out differently. I didn't pick 7 and try to fit 7. It just worked that way. 7 plus 1 more, I'll say that. And then there's a couple of scattered thoughts in there as well. But we'll try and look at these, if you will. By the way, at Romans 13, if you want to look there for just a moment, we'll spend a little time in the letter to the Romans now, so that would be as good a time as any to turn to. Romans 13 and verse 8. And it would help if I turned to Romans 13, verse 8. I'm glad. I hope you are there. I will give you time just like Hedden does, time to find it. I needed time. 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law." Now, as Paul is writing to the Romans, remember, this is a group of believers in Rome, maybe some Jewish believers that are part of that, likely a number of, many Gentiles are part of that group, people that wouldn't have grown up under the Jewish tradition or know the Jewish scriptures. And so when Paul went there, just like he would have done in Corinth, just like he did in Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae and all these other places, you know, his Bible was the Old Testament, and by it he demonstrates the Lord Jesus is that Messiah that was to come and how salvation is had in him and him alone. So as he says this to the Romans, as he writes this to them, he says, "My loving the brothers and the sisters is not my generosity flowing out," right? It's not, I will feel better about myself because I have given some sort of affection or devotion or love to you. Paul says you owe it. You owe it. It's a debt. How is that? Well, you know, there's the little chorus we used to sing that he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. The Lord Jesus paid the debt, right? He took my sins and your sins on the cross at Calvary. Absolutely a debt I could not pay. That sin debt that separated me from God could not be resolved by any amount of good works, any amount of good deeds, any amount of anything. And so I needed someone to take my place. And the Lord Jesus did that for you and for me and for whosoever believes in him. By that, I owe him my love, my devotion, my all. I'm eternally indebted to him. Well, he's not here. He's not physically here with us today. So how can I repay my debt of love? How can I show him that I am making good on what I owe? And our debt is transferred to his own who are here. I owe it to every brother and sister in Christ to love them even as I would seek to love the Lord Jesus. The joy of loving hearts. Think about these Gentiles in Rome who are learning of God's dealings with Israel and how God gave them 10 commandments to uphold which they couldn't uphold, and they want to know how they too can fulfill God's law and show their love for him. And Paul just reiterates the Lord's commandment. Here's my new commandment: love one another. You do that, you'll satisfy the law. Well, how is this love for one another practically manifested? And like I said, I've got 7 groups we'll look at. So turn back one page, Romans chapter 12. You might not even have to turn for our first one that we'll think about. And that is, as we think about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are members one of another. Romans 12 and verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And that's repeated again. The general thought of that is repeated again over in Ephesians 4:25. We're members of each other. Now, members and membership takes on maybe a little different meaning in our society today than it did when Paul was writing this. When he's talking about members of the body, he's talking about, imagine a human body. And it's composed of, you say, well, that's a human body. Well, what's a human body made of? Well, it's made of a bunch of parts. Well, what parts? Eyes and ears, nose, fingers, toes, legs, arms, heart, and all the internal things that we don't want to look at, but we understand they're the more comely parts. They're the parts that make things tick, right? Otherwise, a pretty face doesn't make a heart beat, right? It's not. It's those things that are internal that are more profitable to us, in fact, than perhaps the outside. But those are the members of the human body. And so when Paul is talking about the church, whether he's talking about the church universal, and I mean the church worldwide, I mean every person who knows and loves the Lord Jesus as Savior, or a local group of believers like we have right here, everyone is a member of Christ's body. Well, what does that mean? How does that work out with this thought of loving one another? Well, when I think of my own human body, I've found that the entirety of my body is happy with the rest of my body, right? And it works all together. And if the left arm doesn't work, the rest of the body is a little disappointed with it, you know? If I have an upset stomach, or if I you know, if I can't hear because of my old age, or whatever the case may be, the rest of the body is affected by parts that aren't functioning. The idea is every part needs to function and operate accordingly. If I hit my thumb with a hammer, the rest of the body doesn't say, well, you're on your own. The whole body hurts because my thumb hurts, right? And so it is with the body of believers. If one is suffering, we all suffer. And if one is happy, we're all joyful for them. It's the fact that our love is manifested in this body life, that we're members one of another. Now look forward a little bit in Romans 12 here for just a moment and come down to verse 16. That not only are we members of his body, but we are to be united in mind. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Paul's mindful, of course, here of the fact that we have this natural inclination toward pride and arrogance and thinking ourselves better than others. That, or sometimes it's the other way around. We think that we're not as good as anybody else. I mean, there's those that have that thought too. The thought is we're to be of the same mind one towards another. Paul would say this again in chapter 15, that we're like-minded one towards another. We are the body of Christ. He's the head, right? And so our thinking, our minds are to be fed by what we know of him, what he would have for us to do. Now, notice it didn't say that we had to be exactly of the same mind about every little thing. But we're supposed to have the same mind toward each other, and that's a mind that thinks well of and desires for the best of each other. Sometimes I'll be with believers that are from, you know, a Baptist church or this church or that group there, and we don't all see eye to eye about everything, right? Maybe it's things regarding future events, and I'll tell you, future events have yet to happen. So, you know, everybody could be wrong. We think we're right, but it could be wrong. I'll admit that right away. But if that person, if that brother or that sister says, I've put my trust in the Lord Jesus and him alone as my Savior, I have fellowship with them. And other things that, certainly doctrine is important, but this is the most important. This is the determining factor of whether we'll see each other in heaven or not. You know, heaven's not divided by denominations. Heaven doesn't know anything about denominations. Heaven doesn't know anything about social classes or castes or skin color or things that we use to divide people or to categorize them in our minds. Heaven is the place where those who know and love the Lord Jesus in this life, who know him as Savior, will be because of his finished work. It's God makes the distinction between the sheep and the goats, okay? And it's not things that we have created. We're to be of the same mind one toward another. So anytime I meet a believer anywhere, and if I understand that they know and love my Savior, I can get along with that. I have a cousin who lives in Baltimore, not the one you've met. This one kind of visits Baltimore from time to time. She is, I'm satisfied with my mind. In my mind, she's been a believer for many years. We are diametrically opposed politically. I mean, so much so that's a subject we can't talk about. I don't care to talk with her about. But if she loves the Lord, she can be wrong about everything else. It's fine. She loves the Lord and wants to serve him, and she'll be in heaven. and we'll all know better at that time. So, all right, so we're in the body, we're of the same mind toward one another, then what about, what's the practical outworking of that? Well, one, as I've alluded to already, is this, that when we encounter another brother or another sister, we have this thought of receiving one another, of greeting one another, of using hospitality one to another. And if you turn over to Romans 16, I'm not advocating for this right now, I understand, but it does read, salute one another with a holy kiss. And you see that there, and Paul repeats it again and again and at least three times. Well, I'm going to take that as a little bit cultural, all right? I'm not going to probably greet you at the door with a holy kiss when I see you, but some of these words here in the greeting have the thought of taking into one's embrace. And when I see a believer or a friend that I've, or one I know who loves the Lord and I haven't seen them in a long time, it's more than a handshake. I can fully go with a bear hug, and I'm glad to see you. And or ladies, I'll give you a side hug. We'll all be comfortable with that. And that's the idea of the greeting. It's great to meet with the believers. It's great to see those we haven't seen who also love the Lord. We don't meet a stranger when we meet someone who knows the Lord Jesus. We have stayed with people. We've stayed in the homes of people we have never met before we got there. And we've had people stay at our home that we didn't know, even know who it was that was coming. But we knew they loved the Lord. And we knew how the Lord would have us open our home. And likewise, we have been blessed by that. It's a difference. That's one of those things when people say, well, you got friends coming over to your house? Yeah, what's their name? Don't know. Where are they from? Well, they're from X-where. Well, how do you know them? Well, we don't. But they love the Lord. We know of them. They love the Lord. And we're to welcome one another into homes. We're to show hospitality one to another. Back in Romans 12, and I know we spent a lot of time in Romans. We could be in a lot of other places, but we're right here, convenient. So we'll look at this thought of taking the lower place. In Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's that same thought of loving one another. But he says, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says, by love, serve one another. And to the Ephesians, he writes, submitting yourselves one to another. Peter says, so minister the same one to another. And again, to be subject one to another. There's this thought of me taking a humble place. There is no room for arrogance or pride or thinking that I am better than another for whom Christ died. In honor, preferring one another. Lots of ideas, lots of examples, lots of things we could do that you could point to that might be examples of this, but a very practical example, when we had the gravel pit at Taugaville, when I first came to work there, there were several older men that worked there, and they were, you know, they had various tasks, welder or operators, whatever, but they were Mr. George. And we addressed them by virtue of their seniority in age and recognize their ability. We just in a subtle way, there's this honor given. You say, well, they weren't the boss. The boss needed those men. Those men were important. And they need to be given that kind of honor. So we preferred, we showed humility and honored them. And that was a good lesson for me, Mr. Bill, by the way. I saw in that a proper mindset toward those upon whom we depend. And we can do that with anyone in the body of believers. We know a young person that needs some help. We know an older person that needs some help. We know a young couple that needs some help, or almost to be a young couple that needs some help. Anything like that we can do, we can help because we're not saying, well, they've made their bed, they can sleep in it. No. What can I do to prefer them over myself that I might honor them? That's how the body works. That's how we demonstrate to the outside world. This is how believers are with one another. Hebrews 3:13. We'll look forward a little bit. Give the book of Romans a rest for a moment. Romans would have helped us here as well, but I'd like to look at Hebrews 3:13. I keep misreading my notes. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, in Romans 14, we'd read about edifying one another. And again, in 1 Thessalonians, to edify one another. It means to build each other up. To build each other up. That's when the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, he is using basically the same Greek word that we have here, in that he's going, that it's building, an edifice, right? Is a structure. And he's the one who's designed the structure. And so we're to edify and exhort and build each other up. Well, how can we do that? What are ways you can do that? Well, maybe when we're together, our conversation centers around the Lord. You know, there's lots of things we like to talk about, from work to football to you name it. But we can talk about the Lord. That's one thing that we can't talk with the worldling about. And we can encourage each other in Him and build each other up in Him. Different people have you know, do different ways. We have some friends that when we went to eat at their house, one of their practices just to keep the Lord in focus is either before or after dinner, maybe before dessert, we'll sing a hymn. We'll sing a hymn. And the guy's got books. Here's a book, and we're going to sing first and last of this. He said, well, that's different. It is different. Is it bad? No. Does it bring the Lord back into focus in our conversation and thinking? Yeah, it does. That's not a bad thing. That might not be your style. I can appreciate that. I understand that. I know a barbershop that has hymns on the wall. Is that a silent testimony? Yeah. It brings the Lord back into focus. Right? Even maybe in a subtle way, but there it is. It's a testimony. And maybe you've got scripture on the walls of your house that are not just to show visitors who come, it's to remind me of the love of the Lord Jesus. So we build into each other. We work to encourage one another. We might drop an email. There's a little scripture here. Here's a little devotional thought I had there. Read this morning. It was meaningful to me. I want to share it to you. It might take a little exercise to do these things, but it's a good exercise. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile thinking about and putting into practice because we're building into each other as we love one another. Sixthly, Ephesians 4, verse 2. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 2, and then we'll look down again in Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, as this helpful thought that Paul has shared in times past, the General Electric Power Company, GEPC. Great way to remember those four in the order that they come in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. What does that mean? It means to be patient. It means to be patient with one another. It goes back kind of the thought of humbling myself. In 1 Corinthians, where we will be in a few weeks, Paul says, brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. Well, that just sounds like good manners to wait till everybody's there before we eat. And he's speaking of the love feast before the Lord's Supper. He said, yeah, just wait till everybody's there. Tarry for one another. We'll be patient. We'll forbear with one another. And not just about eating. Eating is just the outworking of this. You say, well, that's just good manners. Well, you know, this country is different than a lot of places in the world. We live in a country that's had a biblical foundation for its history, and a lot of things we consider good manners came from people that thought the Scripture was worthwhile. Now, if you go visit other cultures in the world, when the food hits the ground, everybody's eating. They're not waiting for one another, see? When it's time to get the goodie, they're not holding back. When you have a problem, they're not waiting on you to catch up. But this is the way it should be with the believers, forbearing one another in love. And in fact, that goes to even the next thought of this in the last verse of this same chapter. Be kind one to another. Verse 32 of Ephesians 4. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh. You know, one of the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should I forgive him 7 times? And the Lord says, of course, 70 times 7. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, well, here's the measure of forgiveness, that you forgive even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, that's easy to read, and we think, well, that's easy to do. You wait till somebody has hurt your feelings or caused you grief or broken your heart. And somebody says, you need to forgive them. I ain't forgiven them. I ain't never forgiven them. Really? What marks out the life of the believer if you're really a believer? That's tough sometimes. It's really tough sometimes. What's so tough about it? Because I've been grieved. Yeah? Was the Lord ever grieved? Was he ever grieved with me? Even worse. Learn to forgive, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Peter would say, have compassion one of another. We forbear. We have patient care, and we forgive. Two doors over from Ephesians is the little letter to the Colossians. And there we read about teaching and correcting. And we're running short on our time, but this is our seventh grouping, if you will. In Colossians 3:16, we read something that is similar to, again, some of the teaching Paul has in the 15th chapter of Romans. We read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And we might latch on to that admonishing. There's a few people I want to admonish. I've got the ticket right here. I get to admonish them and let them know where they're wrong. And the Bible says so. I can do it. I'm going to teach them a thing or two, right? Well, before you do that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let me take in. Are you taking in the Word of God daily? Do you have time, time with the Lord? Do you spend a few minutes in the Scriptures? Do you spend time in prayer? We can do that. I'll do that every day. Get the Word inside. I feel dried up. I feel thirsty. I feel empty. Well, maybe you're not eating the right thing. Let's get in the Word of God. And then when it's in me, then the Spirit of God brings it to mind as I deal with another. And then when I'm speaking to my brother or my sister that I want to help them see this is what the Word of God says, then my attitude toward them is not a hard, stern taskmaster. I speak to them in love like you would with a little child. Look, you're going the wrong way here. And because I love you, because I love the Lord and I love you, then let me show you from the Scripture how to do it. Sometimes he says you can even do it with song, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Think about the hymns we sing. Think about the hymns we sang today. They're not just pretty songs. They're not just flights of fancy drawn out with pictures of heaven and clouds and angels and harps and that. They're doctrine. They're teaching. They're teaching from the Word of God. And we learn by song. How'd you learn the alphabet? I bet you learned it with a song. A lot of the scriptures I know from childhood, I learned by singing them, right? It's a good thing. It's a good way to learn. And then those things can come back to us. I had one of those this morning. Laura was playing a chorus that I knew from childhood, and we're probably the only two that know it. Altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely, and the fairest of 10,000. Drawn from Scripture, every thought about the Lord Jesus. All right, we're helping, we're working, we're encouraging, we're teaching. Paul tells us don't lie to each other. He tells us in regards to thinking of the coming of the Lord to comfort one another with these words. We are to, as James would say, to confess our faults one to another. That's a tough one to do. But we do it so we can pray for each other. We should pray for each other. We pray for those we love. If we love each other, we'll pray for each other. Finally, in 1 John, and we'll look, this is the number 8. This is the plus 1, if you will. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Keep in mind, my love for the Lord will drive my love for the believers, my love for other Christians, whether they're in this fellowship here, whether they're in other places, maybe they're other in our families or our friends or wherever that might be, or a believer you meet somewhere 100 miles from here. We love them because we love the one that loved us and love them too. And so if we have love with for the Savior and grow deeper in that love, we'll love one another. We'll be walking in the light and we'll have fellowship one with another. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that we might briefly consider these things. And Father, I pray would take them and think of how we can apply them in our lives. Think of how we can not just say this was a great little exercise or an interesting little diversion, but rather that we might think about how can I implement these instructions from the Word of God in my life, and in particular toward those other believers that I know and love and fellowship with, Father, and even those that perhaps I don't. Help me to love them more, that I might demonstrate my love for the Savior and my love for them. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray these things might guide our thoughts, our hearts, as we meditate upon the Scripture. Let it be that which directs our every step, that we might walk in the light, even as he is in the light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.